Here comes episode number 147.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, whether it's a towable, whether it's a fifth wheel, whether it's a tent. If you're just dreaming about getting a recreation vehicle someday, this is for you, because here on this podcast, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So welcome. We're very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. You know, in the RV world, there is a lot of hype and there's a lot of marketing. Take the case of somebody called the RV guy. That is the nickname Jason Kimbrell has as the guy behind the big La Mesa RV chain of RV dealerships. They're in Florida, New Mexico, Arizona, California. But Jason has a great story because he didn't always like that name. In fact, he wasn't even sure he wanted to continue in the family business. So Jason walked away from it for a while and he went off to explore the West. And in the process, he became the RV guy. And I think you're going to enjoy his story and how that happened. And then Jason's suggestions of the places across the Southwest U.S. that belong on your RV bucket list. He'll be in our interview section just coming up in a little bit. Plus, we have lots of listener questions this week. We've got some great tips. We've got RV news and an off-the-beaten-path report. All that in episode 147 of the podcast. But right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
We have had a very busy month, have we not?
We have, and it's been a very good month.
We are back in our Michigan Sticks and Bricks home for all of about not even a week. We've only got a few more days that we're here, and then we hit the road again. But we have had a long month on the road.
5,500 miles. What did we do? Visit 9 states and 1 Canadian province. Michigan to Montana to Alberta.
We did 3 U.S. national parks, Theodore Roosevelt, Glacier, and Yellowstone, and 2 Canadian national parks, Waterton and Banff, and no grass grew under our tires, did they?
Kind of reminds you of family vacation.
Yeah, the Chevy Chase movie. Yeah. Yeah. We did it all in a
month. Yeah, we covered a lot. Even saw Rochester, Minnesota.
Rochester, oh, back. Gosh, that seems ancient history. That was 3 and almost a month ago on our first, second, and third night out. I ended up in the hospital and had my gallbladder removed. Oh, that was a great adventure. Talk about serendipity travel, huh?
Right.
Well, that is our style of serendipity travel. And we discovered a lot of places that we had gone by before, and we've always said, oh, maybe we don't have enough time to stop. What were your favorites?
The 1880 town in South Dakota.
That was really fun. I can't tell how many times we went by the sign. We never stopped. We had a ball there.
We really enjoyed it. It was peaceful. It was relaxing. And I learned about camels in the 1850s in the military. I didn't realize that they tried to use camels out west, the Southwest.
And why didn't they have one camel there at the 1880s. Why didn't they cake?
The camels? Well, the camels are a bit disagreeable. They will bite. They will spit. They will try to stomp you to death if they don't like you. They have a different smell. I don't know. They said the cattle people the cows wouldn't drink out of a water source if camels had been there. So, you know, I guess if camels were meant to be here, they would have been here at the get-go.
Naturally, huh?
But anyway, the Civil War started and it all got too complicated.
So, but
it was a big deal bringing these camels. They did a lot of research to bring them over. It was very interesting.
So we learned that, and we got a chance to dress up as You as a fancy lady, dance hall saloon girl.
I got to wear a very pretty fancy dress.
And I got
But the hat was wrong. I shouldn't have let her get away with the hat she gave me. I needed a fancy hat to match
the dress. I'll have to dig that picture out and we'll put it up in the show notes for this episode. But we had a really great time. And did not we find one of the nicest KOAs that we've ever found right down the street?
We did. Yeah, I was
quiet.
It was
right
so
on the prairie.
Peaceful. Now, it's all what you're looking for. We're looking for peace and quiet.
Yeah, we like peace and quiet.
If we had our three kids and we were young again, we'd want razzmatazz and probably lots going on.
Quiet is a big deal for us. That was right, a really nice little, we were surprised because we didn't see a place to boondock. And it was just like we were boondocking at this little KOA. Wasn't that big?
And they even had an elliptical machine, but I didn't have time to use it.
That's the first campground I've seen that had exercise equipment.
Yeah, I wish every KOA, I wish every campground would get some exercise equipment there.
But that's our serendipity style of traveling. We're going to do a whole seminar on it at the Family Motor Coach Association Conference annual summer reunion. That's next week. We're going to be in Indianapolis, July 12th through the 15th. And one of the seminars we do is we tell everybody about our serendipity style and our 330 rule of trying to travel easy and see everything and not being locked into schedule. But some of the things we saw on this trip that were so much fun. A few years ago, when we drove out there, we read
House on the Prairie.
We read the Little House on the Prairie series of books. Laura Ingalls Wilder.
We took turns
reading
them out loud to each other.
I would drive, Jennifer would read, she would drive, I would read. And we loved those books. And so this time, we took a little detour off Route 90 and also in South Dakota, and we camped on the homestead, the Ingalls family homestead, right where the Little House on the Prairie series of books were written. We camped right there.
And I got to see a sod house and read a little bit about the history of the early pioneers.
Amazing stuff.
I enjoyed that. I don't think people realize how hard that was. And particularly as a woman, how isolated they were. And I mean, I got to say, I like to talk. You know, I got all my words I got to use, and that had to be hard. Even if you were a quiet woman, not to be able to have somebody to talk to.
That we had a great time. We stopped at an angel museum that we just stumbled across in Wisconsin. We're in Buffalo. I think we recorded the podcast last week from Buffalo, Wyoming, which is home of Longmire Days from the Craig Johnson book series and the TV shows Longmire. And we crossed Lake Michigan again. It's the second time we've done that, but we crossed at like 1:30 in the morning on the ferry that runs between Manitowoc, Wisconsin and Ludington, Michigan. And that was really a nice way to get away from that Chicago construction and traffic on the freeways and the interstates, and nice relaxing cruise.
It was very relaxing. And if you're going to do that, book it ahead of time.
Yeah, we tried to get a daytime crossing and they were all booked. So this time of year, they're very busy. They won't let you stay in your vehicle, even if it's a camper. So you can't do that.
But they will let your pet stay in the vehicle.
You can keep your pet in it. And they have somebody who kind of watches over them. So you don't have to worry about that. We paid $49 and got a little stateroom and we slept quite good for a few hours. It was only a four and a half hour crossing.
Because we get in this little stateroom and there's one twin bed there and you said, this isn't going to work.
Where are you going to sleep? Here?
Yeah, a woman wanted to see what the rooms looked like before she paid the money. And she said, well, there's a Murphy bed. Actually, the mattresses were thick. It was very comfortable.
Yeah, it was very nice. So anyway, that was our serendipity craft. We have done and shot videos almost every day for the last month. I have a long, long list of them. They will all be going up live on our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed yet, go to YouTube and search for Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle. RV Lifestyle will come. You'll get our channel. And when you subscribe, there's a little button right next to them where you can click that button and then you will get notified every time we have a new video out. So I just put a new video out today as this podcast is being released. We tested a new cell phone booster on this month-long trip to the West in some pretty remote locations. That video is up. And if you're a subscriber to the YouTube channel, you click that little notification button and every time there's a new one, you'll get a little note, hey, there's a new video. So we'd love it if you'd do that. So anyway, we have had a great week. We're home for just a few days. Then we look forward to meeting as many of you as possible next week in Indianapolis at the Family Motor Coach Association Summer Reunion. We've got seminars we're doing, lots of shaking hands. I always enjoy that. That's a good group.
That was the first event like that that we attended 5 years ago
when
with Indianapolis.
We first started, we went to Indianapolis. That's right.
And
that's
we right. learned so much
yeah.
from all the other RVers, yeah. little ways they had modified, added to. It was a blessing to us.
It was. All right. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Campers Inn. We want to welcome Campers Inn back to the RV podcast family as a sponsor of this part of the program. Campers Inn is the RVer's trusted resource and has been for 50 years now, over 50 years, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership, 16 locations and still growing. Campers Inn is the home of integrity pricing. They give you a guarantee that all their quotes for new RVs include no hidden charges, freight, orientation, detailing, prep. You're not going to be surprised by hidden upcharges and fees like some RV places do. Campers Inn has motorhomes and travel trailers and every kind of RV you want from the industry's leading manufacturers. They feature top brands. They've got Tiffin Motorhomes, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River, Campers Inn exclusives like the Gulfstream Friendship and Cruiser Embrace, award-winning RV sales and service, hundreds of RVs at the best prices, and certified and trained service personnel, a professional staff, years of RV knowledge. Check them out. Campers Inn, there's 16 of them around the country, many of them starting in New England all the way down into Florida. Look them up. Campers Inn, that's the home of integrity pricing guarantees. All right, Jennifer, are you ready to get to some work?
I am. Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
One accessory every RVer has to have, no matter what kind of vehicle they have, is a hose to fill your unit with fresh, clean water. But unless you take a lot of time and attention winding them up, they can develop a lot of kinks and in turn into a tangled mess.
Are you looking at me? You are.
Yeah, we have replaced our hose numerous times, but we won't go there.
All right.
At our recent road trucking gathering in Montana, we met Ken Yoho, who showed us a particular type of hose that solves that problem.
A common problem is getting kinks in your water hose. We found someone who has an answer. Tell us who you are and what you've got.
I'm Ken Yoho, and I just got the Zero G hose. You can get them at Camping World, and you can get them at Lowe's, and they're safe for drinking water. They're very flexible, has 600-pound burst strength, and that you can squeeze them up really small into small areas.
That solves the problem of getting kinks in the hose and having to buy a new hose every 6 months, every year. How pricey were they?
I think they're like $25 for the 25-footer.
Oh, that's nothing compared to how many times we've replaced our plastic. And it's clean enough to drink from.
Yes, yeah. They're food gradable.
Thank you so much.
The hose Ken had is called the Zero G RV and Marine Water Hose. That's the model you want. The company makes a lot of garden type hoses, but for drinking water, you want to make sure it's labeled for RV and marine or freshwater use. We could not find it at Amazon, but if you search for it online by that name, Zero G RV and Marine Water Hose, you will find several sources. Meanwhile, be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, R-A-D, POWERBikes.com, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct to consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. Rad power bikes, you're seeing them at campgrounds all around the country as you head over there because they're so handy. They'll fit right in the back of your RV and a regular hitch. They make a series of different e-bike models that fit every possible variety of rider wants and needs that you could possibly imagine. And all of their models reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. All their models give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle or utilize five levels of pedal assist for an added boost or a combination of the two. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding or maybe you're recovering from surgery or an injury or are looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends or family. Riders can travel between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And here's the deal with Rad Power Bikes. Besides the incredible quality with which they're manufactured, they're priced at often less than half the price of comparable e-bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is cut out. If you mention Road Trekking at checkout, you'll get an additional $75 off the price, plus free shipping. Visit radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Paul from Fort Myers, Florida, calling with some questions. I'm one of those listeners who is in the just dreaming category at the moment, hoping in the next couple of years when we get ready to retire to be able to get a new Road Trek, or more likely than that, a used Road Trek. So I've got a few questions that I hope you can address specifically. After I've watched a bunch of your videos and read a bunch of your articles, there's still just some loose ends I'm wondering about. One has to do with boondocking and particularly air conditioning. I understand the electronics involved and the running the lights and things like that, but running the AC, we're probably not a candidate for the rig that you guys have, or that you had, I should say, with all those batteries. But I'm wondering, in terms of using the air conditioner and all of your many trips, do you find that you use it very often, or is it not that great of a need? Just got off the phone with Nick up at Sunshine State RVs north of us, and he seemed to think that the money put into a used rig, if it doesn't have solar, might be better spent on more batteries rather than solar. And then running down the road, you charge those batteries up. So I'm just trying to get a handle on the power requirements, in particular with regard to both air conditioning and then, I guess, in the winter time or in colder areas, the heating aspects. So thoughts on that in terms of just how much battery capacity and possibly charging capacity is really needed for someone who's maybe not going to be boondocking for a week at a time, but potentially overnight or maybe two nights. And then also, in addition to that, financing. We're not going to be buying this thing with cash. We can put probably 10 or 20% down, but we're going to finance the rest. And with our budget, I'm wondering if you have any suggestions of where to go for, I would guess, at least a 15-year note on this in order to keep within our budget. Our credit union would go out 10 years, but that's not going to make the grade as far as, like I said, our budget. So any thoughts on that, place you can steer me toward as far as checking out financing and to get a handle on just what's realistic for our situation? And then I want to ask you one last question. Realistically, I guess you guys literally drive the Road Trek around as your second vehicle. Right now, we just have one vehicle because we go to the same place every day together where we're both teachers. But when one of us retires and then a year later the other one, we're going to need a second car so we don't leave the other person stranded. So that my idea is to sell my wife on the idea of a Road Trek as a second vehicle, and then hopefully get her to also take trips with me. She's not exactly sold on the idea of RV living at the moment. So I'm looking for things to convince her, but also the practical aspects of we're going to need a second car anyway. This is only so many dollars more per month in the budget. So any thoughts you can share on that? Nick wondered if driving around a 24-footer is really something you'd want to do from day in and day out as your second vehicle. But if my understanding is correct, that's exactly what you guys do and you find it just fine. So talk about that if you would. I love your podcast. It's one of many that I listen to. Thanks for all of your help in the podcast, online, and any help you can give in response to this voice message. Look forward to hearing from you soon, Mike and Jennifer. Thanks again.
Well, Paul is doing his homework.
And that is good.
Yeah, he's asking the right question.
Where do we start here?
Well, let's start with the one we know least about, which is financing. But Paul, I know it is done regularly, so talk with the dealer. You mentioned Nick at Sunshine State RVs up there in Gainesville, Florida. Talk to Nick. Nick can steer you into some resources, I am sure. There may be, if you look on our show notes page for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/147, you might find somebody will put in comments about where you can find some financing. But I know it's done, and I think your dealer can help you with that, wherever you decide you're going to buy from, if it's not Nick or whatever dealer you're shopping with. Let's start with the driving it as a second vehicle. I drive we have the CS Adventurous XL, and that is almost 24 feet. That's the longest of the Class Bs that Road Trek makes, the brand we drive. And I have no problem with it. I use it all the time. Now, Jennifer?
I would not use it to drive around for errands unless I were really desperate.
But I do. And I use it all the time. I'll take it out first thing in the morning. I take Bo, usually the dog park, and we go back and forth to that. We're taking him tonight after we finish the podcast. We do a walk to a local park. We drive it there, and I'm able to use the RV dump that they happen to have at that park. It's a good deal. But I use it all the time, and I have no problem with it. I had shorter ones, the regular size Sprinters. We've had three of those models before. I had no problem with them. I don't see any difference really in this extra long version that we have. So your wife, as my wife, it may not be comfortable driving a big long Mercedes type dual wheeled van as a second vehicle, but for me, no problem at all.
And I think credit unions normally give you the best credit.
He just mentioned credit his rate. Credit union would only do 10 years.
I know, but check that out. And I'm thinking, I hate debt. And I'm sure your wife hates debt too, because don't get yourself stretched too thin, because things happen. It's part of life. You think everything's great and then there's a bump in the road. So don't stress. Don't get in that position.
You don't want to be stressed by
it. And then you don't want to have this road truck and not have enough money to take it anyplace.
So
be wise with how much debt that you go into. And as far as one retiring and the other needing a car, you could drop the one who's still working off and then pick him up if it's, live realistically close to your work spot. And I think of it as an adventure mobile rather than full-time live in it.
Even though we're probably a little over half the time living in it, but
it's for adventures.
It is.
I think you'll have a real rough time talking your wife into living in this. Yeah, some people do.
Just as a little hint, Paul, don't say we're going to go live in this. We're going to go have adventures in it. And then as she just sees how much fun it is. Now, let's go to your question about batteries and air conditioning. And we get this question all the time. It comes up about every other day on our Facebook group, and I get emails every other day. I answer it and answer it and answer it. So there is no way to tell you, Paul, how long you can run your air conditioning on batteries. There is no stronger demand on your batteries than air conditioning. If you are in Florida or Texas, where it is extremely hot, you are only going to get, with even the maximum system, a few hours of battery use because it's so hot, it's so humid. It just isn't going to work on just batteries. Unless you get yourself loaded with a huge lithium system. We have had that, and now we are down to just the 400 series of lithiums. and we can run the, we can usually run our battery comfortably without any worry for an hour or so on it, you know, in really hot weather, like when we're down in Florida. So we can be sure Bo is safe while we're running in cars, you know, in and out of the vehicle and using it as a car, and we bring him with us. But to camp out with it, to leave it on all night long, is very hard and very draining. Now, the maximum system I had, which was on a prototype we tested in the unit before this, we could get through the night with it almost if it wasn't too humid out. But in practical speaking of what you can afford in batteries, that is your biggest draw. And so, you know, if you're really, really, really camping in hot areas, you probably want to plug in, and then you can be sure that your air will work. But I don't think you're planning to doing a lot of boondocking. If you're doing a lot of boondocking, you need more battery power. But if you're planning just to be in campgrounds where there's commercial power available, or where you're just going to be overnight before you drive it again, and the volt start system that they have is wonderful. We just did some boondocking this past weekend, and we ran a bunch of stuff all night long. The volt start started up in the daytime, ran several times, charged the battery up, everything ran again. So the technology is there. You just can't run air 24/7 on batteries and expect it to last.
And the good thing is the technology keeps improving and probably costs will go down. So waiting a little bit.
Yep. Now you're going to be buying used. So, you know, you won't have probably the latest in technology. But it sounds to me from listening, and don't you think, Jerry, he's talking more about, you know, more plugging in every night, and you want your wife to ease into this so that you can do this long term. And Jennifer's advice was pretty good. Don't make it an adventure. Not we're going to live in an RV for the rest of our lives.
That's right.
Well, Paul, let us know your decision. I hope we hit all of your questions. Let's go to some other questions that we got this week from listeners to the RV podcast.
Hi, my name's Darlene Kaywood. My husband and I are going to be starting full-time RVing here in September. Our house is going on the market next week, and we're headed to Florida. We would like to make that our home base by buying an RV lot, but I haven't been able to find any sites that show you where to purchase RV lots. If you could help out with that, that would be fabulous. Love road trekking. It's a great tool to work with and look things up. Thank you.
Well, boy, you know, when you asked that question, I was prepared to play it. I did a quick search on Google. I just searched RV lots in Florida, and I found plenty. I found one site, FloridaRVLotSales.com. I'll put a link on our show notes for this episode. It has RV lots for sale in RV parks all across Florida. It has lots for sale by private owners. So you could look through, I mean, all sorts of listings there. Another site, RVProperty.com, has a Florida section, and they note that there are so many RV lots for sale in Florida that they've divided the state into north and south for easier searching. They have one for North Florida, one for South Florida, and the dividing line along Interstate 4 that runs basically from Tampa Bay to Daytona there. So there are lots of places, and as we've traveled throughout Florida, we've stayed in a couple of the big resorts. They all have lots that you can buy. So find the area that you want to buy. That would be my suggestion. And then look around at some of the big RV developments, you know, the RV resorts or the campgrounds, because they have lots, seasonal lots and full-time lots that you can buy.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yep. So good luck with that, Darlene. In fact, all of our calls today, all these calls that we use, it's pretty interesting, are people from Florida, as is our last one here from Fran.
Hi, Mike. I would like to rent a road trek before I buy one, and I'm having a hard time. I live in South Florida. Do you have any advice for me? Thanks.
Well, yeah, it's hard. If you're going to buy rent one, most dealers, most of the road trek dealers have, I guess I shouldn't say most, but many of them have rentals that they make available all year round.
I was surprised when I was talking to Chad at American RV. They said that if you had a pet, they would rent to you with a pet. Their only thing that they didn't want was cigarette smoke.
Good.
But of course, that's not going to help Michigan when you're in Florida.
However, yeah, Chad at American RV rents them out. But most of the rentals are spoken a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
It's been our experiences. We've talked to dealers around the country that we meet and talk to. They may have a one or two road treks that they rent out, but they're spoken for all summer long, all during the prime time season. So it's very hard to find them at many dealers. That would be my first suggestion, is call a dealer, say, hey, you know, and give them as much notice as you can. But of late, there is a new service. We mentioned them a couple of weeks ago, and we've been wanting to get them on the program as an interview, too, that it's called RVShare.com, RVShare.com. And basically, this is sort of a network of private owners who have decided to put their vehicles, their RVs, up for rent when they are not traveling with them. It's kind of like you do with a condo. If you own a condo in a resort area, that's what we do. We have one in Florida. We rent it out and when we're not down there. Well, that's what people are doing with their RVs. And RVShare.com is a very easy website. You plug in the city that you are located in or where you want to pick it up. And you'll be amazed at how many RVs of all different types, from Class A's to Class B's to pop-ups. I think they have pop-ups. Every possible kind of RV. So try that. And but I think that's what you have argued about a long time. You've been saying that that's the best way to do it. Before you jump in, rent one and make sure you like it.
Make sure you like it. Make sure that that works for you before you can't. I can't imagine making this. Of course, we did. We bought one.
Hey,
but
it was
you
the best
wore
decision
me down.
You ever made. Yeah.
You, a couple of years making me go sit in this little road truck, and I kept saying no, not with a 55-pound dog.
Now look at you.
Yeah.
Now look at you. It's your adventure mobile.
Right.
So, but that is always good advice. Try before you buy, and try your dealer or try that website called RVShare.com, and you'll do well. Hey, sponsoring our listener questions of the week are our friends at Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. Now, if you're in the market for a Class B, you know they are in high demand, and that is why you'll want to check in with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Three dealers that specialize in Class B RVs only from all of the major manufacturers. They have new and used models in stock on the lot right now, ready to deal road treks, pleasure ways, leisure travel vans, Class Bs, even some B pluses as well. Visit them, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, WagonTrailRV.com. Here's Dan with their specials this week.
Thanks, Mike. We want to wish all your listeners a happy 4th of July. And to celebrate our independence this week, we'll be having some big savings on our Chinook motorhome. All three locations, Wagon Trail RV, Creston RV, and Van City RV, will have some great, spectacular savings on select Chinook models. They have some of the best options on the Sprinter chassis. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. Or give us a call today at 1-800-467-3905.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
Well, known well in the RV industry is Jason Kimbrell. Jason is a West Coast guy who is known throughout the industry as the RV guy. And it's a funny nickname, really, for Jason, because he's the guy behind La Mesa RV, which is a chain of RV dealerships in Florida, New Mexico, Arizona, California. Jennifer and I met him. We were out at a Super B RV show they had out there in late April of this year, and we sat him down for an interview at the time. What I was really interested about, we were talking about the Southwest and how it is just such a wonderful place for RVers to go. And I just assumed that Jason, you know, loved RV. RVing, that he grew up RVing. Well, he grew up in the family business, but he didn't want any part of it, he didn't think. He was pretty sure he wanted to walk right away from it, and he did so. Now, he took a family RV, and he did a little exploring out west, and, well, as you'll hear in this interview, in the process, he became the RV guy, fell in love with RVing, and now, as he shares with us some of his favorite places that you want to put on your bucket list as you travel the Southwest of America, you're going to hear how Jason Kimbrell became the RV guy. Welcome to the program, Jason Kimbrell.
Well, joining us right now is the RV guy himself, Jason Kimbrell. And Jason, I'm glad we got you to sit down and for a minute and share your stories with us.
Good morning, Mike.
All right, here's the question. First of all, we should introduce you. We mentioned in the introduction before you came on that you are the guy behind now La Mesa RV. You're a big, huge RV dealer. But I want to talk to you about this area of the country we happen to be in now, the Southwest, which belongs on everybody's bucket list.
I was born here. I was raised here, and it's God's country. There's no better place on the planet.
Well, we'll talk about it. But let's first tell your story a little bit. You are, what's your official title at La Mesa? You're the...
Well,
besides the RV guy.
It's my family's business, but I call myself the RV guy because we put our customers first and our employees first, and so it helps me remember what we're here to do.
Well, let's talk about this because it was a family business, and what I like about your story is you didn't think you wanted to necessarily be in that family business when you were first starting off after school.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like many family businesses, you're born into it. And you grow up and you have different ideas of what you think you want to do. And in fact, I thought I was going to be like you, Mike, like a journalist or a writer. And I had a lot of passions when I was young. But right out of college, I started working for my family's business. And I did it for about 3 years, and I still wasn't really sure. So I got in one of these RVs. I got a truck and a 10.5-foot camper, and I spent a year living out of that with my dog and traveling through the Southwest. So in addition to doing business here, I visited most of these great places.
So escaping from the family business, going off to find your own, you found that you loved what the family business was really about.
Yeah, that's kind of the irony, is that in trying, I wouldn't say I was trying to get away from it, but I guess I was to give myself some time to reflect and think about it. And it was actually using the product and experiencing the product and the lifestyle that brought me back to it. And it's just such a great way to travel and see our beautiful country.
Well, now you have stores in Arizona. You have them in California. You are in New Mexico. You are also in Florida. But let's talk about this region. We're interviewing Jason at the Super B RV show. We've been talking a lot about it over the last few weeks here in Glendale. All Class B are in small RVs. But let's talk about this area, the Southwest of America, and where people should go, why this needs to be on their bucket list. Give us a suggested route, a trip, what they should look for, and why this is such a great spot.
Wow. I could probably...
All that in 20 seconds.
Right.
No. We got longer.
I could probably talk for a long time on that. But, you know, we're here in Phoenix, which is this big metropolis, but we're right in the middle of the Sonoran Desert, and it's such a beautiful place. And I think people often picture Arizona and southern Arizona as just sand and cactus, and it's so much more than that. You go north of here, and you get up in the Red Rock country. And places like Sedona and Flagstaff. And, of course, everybody knows the Grand Canyon, but there's so many wonderful places around the Grand Canyon. You know, in the eastern portion of Arizona, I traveled through the White Mountains and was just stunned to find these 10,000-foot peaks. And there's something like 70 lakes concentrated in a small corner of the state. Places where you have, you know, beautiful pine trees and alpine meadows. I remember seeing a black bear in the spring that had just come out of hibernation in a meadow in the White Mountains of Arizona. So it's so diverse.
There used to be a publication called Arizona Highways. Is that still out? It used to have just awesome photographs of all these things. I think people can still probably find that at libraries.
Yeah, I can picture that, Mike. In our dealerships, we often have the racks with the magazines.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that. I'm not sure if it's still out there.
You know, in this digital age, who knows? It's probably online, but it's worth looking for people. Well, so this is Arizona. We know how hot it can be. What's the best time of year to come? Where would somebody start this journey through the Southwest? It's going to take us into some other states as well.
Yes, good point. You know, you follow the weather. We get the snowbirds that come down from the northern states here in the Sun Belt. But we also do business in New Mexico and Albuquerque, and that has some beautiful country. In addition to, you know, every time I visit our store there, I have to remind myself that Albuquerque's higher than Denver, right? And these beautiful mountains and these escarpments in the desert. You know, to the north of there, you have Santa Fe, and even farther to the north, in the very northern reaches of New Mexico. You butt up against Colorado, and you're in the Four Corners area, which has, you know, the towns like Durango. You're in the San Juan Mountains. So it's a real crossroads between the desert and the mountains. There's beautiful Native American ruins and Mesa Verde, and you come down from there, and you can travel through Arizona and places like, I'm struggling for the name of it, the town of Cottonwood, but I believe it's the Verde River Valley.
Yes,
that runs through there.
Yep.
And you have these wonderful places like Jerome, Arizona, which is an old mining town built in the side of a mountain where they mined copper. And there's just so many places. And what's really fun is to connect the dots. Let's say you start in Albuquerque and work your way down through those places I'm talking about, through the White Mountains and through the Gila National Forest of New Mexico, and that can bring you down into the Sonoran Desert.
So if you reverse that, you would start in the Arizona area, perhaps late spring, like before early summer hits and it starts turning into 100-degree days, but then head up and north, and you can stay in cooler weather as you travel, right?
I get passionate about talking, and I forgot that was the question you asked about the weather. And that's a great thing about RVing is you can follow the seasons. You can follow the weather, you can follow the seasons. So that would be a great time. You know, typically it starts warming up. The last time I was in Albuquerque about a week ago, it was beautiful, blue skies, about 75 degrees, and the spring is a great time to start there, after Easter, let's say. And, you know, here in Phoenix, I mean, it's warm outside, but we're still in like the mid-80s, so it's not a bad time to be moving through the Sonoran Desert. And as it gets warmer, you can move to places like Southern California and then on up into, you know, the Sacramento Valley, and you have places like Napa and Tahoe and the central coast of California.
So you could easily spend an entire RV season if you started in the Southwest and just sort of follow the weather. Give an ideal trip for, let's just say, the Southwest. How long should people budget time-wise?
Wow. How long is a piece of string?
Well, you know, I think the reality for most people is a week, two-week trip.
Right.
Let's just say, let's give people 2 weeks. Give a suggested route. Let's start here in the Phoenix area, or even in down into Tucson. You could start in Tucson, the Saguaro National Forest. But a 2 week trip. Let's tick off a couple of places. Each of them a day or so advanced. Now we don't have a map, so I'm going to hit you off the top of your head. But some of the things that they ought to think about making sure is on their Southwest bucket list.
Yeah. So 2 weeks. Let me just answer by saying what I would do if I had two weeks at this time of year.
From the RV guy himself.
Yeah. There you go. So again, Tucson, you mentioned, beautiful place. Go down there, visit the Saguaro National Monument. Also, there's another place on the border, Oregon Pipe National Monument. And then some lovely places like the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, which is actually a zoo. It's a zoological society, but they have all of the plants and the animals of the desert in their natural habitats. So I would spend a couple of days in Tucson taking in the wonderful culture. The mariachi festival happens down there. Some of the best Mexican food in the country. But again, back to the White Mountains, I would move up from Tucson. From there, you can move up into the White Mountains, spend a couple of days in towns like Alpine and Springer Eagerville. You could move over to Sholo, which is a little farther to the west, and then move back down into the high country of the north of Phoenix. I would definitely hit Sedona. I don't think that's a secret, but it's such beautiful country mixed with such beautiful culture.
Just this beautiful red rocks of Sedona. Yeah.
And the things you discover, I mean, RVing is about discovery. The last time I was in Sedona, my wife and I took a trip up there for our 8th anniversary last spring, right after this RV show. And we were walking around town, and we realized that Sedona is really a center of Western art. There's a long history of Western art. So if you're into the Russells and the Remingtons, there's a lot of that in Sedona. So it's not just the natural landscape; it's the culture that you find there.
All right. So we're about a week, 10 days in now, and we're up in Sedona. And I know we want to still keep going north a little bit.
Wow, you're pressuring me, Mike. I felt like I only had 4 or 5 days, and now my trip's coming to an end. Oh, I'm teasing you a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, you have to keep your trips within reasonable limits. So, you know, then you can move west. You know, you could make it to the Southern California coast, where I live in San Diego, if you wanted to, and you travel through more beautiful desert. You transition to the Mojave Desert, and you could go to places like Joshua Tree National Park, which I love, and I take my son there once a year. You could visit, you know, the Anza Borrego Desert and make it out to the coast. But, you know, if you were going to stay within Arizona, there's a lot of interesting places in the western part of Arizona as you move closer to the border with California. You know, Wickenburg, Arizona, has really... it's a small town with a lot of Western and kind of cowboy heritage. I remember going to a dude ranch there as a kid. But it's just beautiful Sonoran Desert. You see these beautiful groves of the saguaro cactus there. And there's water there, too. And it's one of the, if you're a birding person, it's one of the migratory routes of a lot of the birds. So you can see dozens and dozens of varieties of birds in the springtime as they're on their migratory routes.
Now, before you get too far west, we left off the Grand Canyon. Question of the day, South Rim, North Rim?
Well, I've never been to the North Rim, but I'm an off the beaten path guy. I'm an explorer and I'm an adventurer, and I would go to the North Rim. I know it's less accessible. I know it's a little higher elevation, and I have been over that way. I know you and Jennifer travel through Utah quite a bit. I love the canyon country of Utah, and you can access it that way through places like Zion and Bryce and the Escalante National Monument. But just for the sake of new and different in exploration, I'd say go to the North Rim.
Yeah, and we've camped, boondocked 2 miles from the North Rim entrance. Everybody else is looking for an organized campground. They're driving hours out of their way, and we're in the middle of the National Forest, and most people forget about that. Well, we've loosed up 2 weeks now, and we've never left Arizona, really. So that's one lake. So then if you can spend some more time, we got to look. You mentioned Utah and Colorado, and maybe that's a different region. We'll count New Mexico. What's some of the things we should see in New Mexico?
Well, there's a lovely town. I haven't been there in years, but if you go north from Santa Fe, before you get to the border with Colorado, you'll come to Chama, New Mexico. There's a beautiful river that runs through there, and it's really the gateway to the San Juan Mountains. It's part of the Rocky Chain. They're some of the youngest mountains in I think, on the planet, but certainly in North America. So you get these really steep granite escarpments, and it's some of the last great wilderness in the lower 48 states. I believe there's still some grizzly bears up there, beautiful rivers, just God's country. Durango, Colorado is another fantastic place for outdoor adventure. It's the San Juan River. I also believe the Dolores River goes through there, so there's rafting, there's hiking, people mountain bike along the river, they kayak along the river. And then I grew up in the desert of Southern California, and so I'm a desert person, and I grew up in the high desert. So the ecology of the desert changes so much when you gain elevation. And if you go up around Mesa Verde, which is known for the Pueblo Indian ruins, and there's a national monument there. Yeah. But that Four Corners area, you go through the valley. Help me with the name, Mike, with the huge escarpments. Monument Valley, I believe it's called.
Yep.
Monument Valley. And you move through there and you see these enormous spires of eroded sandstone. And one of my favorite classes in college was geology. I probably should have been a geologist. And I learned a little bit about it. And you realize that the combination of water and wind and time has taken these mountains of sandstone and carved them into these beautiful spires, and you drive through that valley, and you really realize how great the universe is and how small of a part of it we are. Nevertheless, we're part of it, and those are the great connections you make when you're RVing?
Well, we could probably go on. We've already occupied about a month now of travels, and you can see, folks, why the Southwest is so great. I'm going to take a chance and say that, Jason, people can contact you. I can put a link up, and if they have a question, they can contact you through La Mesa RV, and you can maybe steer them in some directions. I know you love talking to people who love this lifestyle.
Absolutely, Mike. And in addition to it being our family business, I'm a big user of RVs. I have a demo unit, but I use just all types of RVs. I love it. My wife goes with me. We have three young children. We have a seven-year-old son, and God gave us twins the second time around, so we have a pair of five-year-old twins. They turn five on Easter Sunday, and I'm just really passionate about the lifestyle, so I take them whenever I can. I try to expose them to all these experiences and all these different types of RVs. They find it so fun. Just to be inside of an RV.
I think it's been our observation, as Jennifer and I have traveled around and met many of the most successful RV dealers, that if you're shopping for an RV, the first thing you ought to ask is, do the folks that are selling it to you really understand the lifestyle? And the only way to understand it is by actually being like Jason Kimbrell here from La Mesa RV, the RV guy. Jason, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Mike. And we're really honored to have you out here at our Super B show in Phoenix. Thank you. And thank you too, Jennifer, for coming.
My pleasure.
Now, we recorded that a couple of months ago now. And I wanted to share it with you as people are starting to make their summer travel trends to the American Southwest, some great spots to see, and thanks to Jason for coming on. It's so interesting, because he was going to walk away from that family business, didn't want any part of it, he didn't think, until he got in an RV and actually went to find himself, and there he discovered what a great lifestyle it was. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find the largest selection of used Class B RVs anywhere in North America. If you're looking for a Class B RV, you need to either make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida, or check out SunshineStateRVs.com. They're RVs from every different manufacturer you could make. Great used RVs, well-conditioned, in all checked, a 772-point inspection, and they ensure all the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition, that everything works the way it's supposed to. They've got all of them in stock. Popular brands like Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. And they have new RVs, brand new production models from Road Trek. They've got the entire line of new Road Treks in stock, and you can look for them right there on the website or in person. Again, all of their RVs are thoroughly cleaned. They're detailed. Everything is gone through perfectly. And if you buy a new or used Road Trek from Sunshine State RVs, they will deliver it anywhere in the country. SunshineStateRVs.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
All right, let's start with the good news. And, it's kind of bad news in a sense, because we left Glacier National Park on our recent trip west on a Saturday. And the following Wednesday, they finally opened the Going to the Sun room. You know, the beautiful, probably the best drive anywhere in North America is the Going to the Sun Road. It goes switchbacks up and down across these spectacular mountains at Glacier National Park. Well, it is finally open. When we were there just a week and a half ago, there was still 90 feet of snowpack at the very top up by Logan Pass, and the snow clearing crews finally got rid of it. They opened it up last Wednesday, much later than normal because there was an unusually harsh winter out there, but it's open. The traditional ceremonial Blackfeet blessing from the Blackfeet Indian tribe opened it all up, and all 50 miles now open. If you're heading out that way and you've never done Going to the Sun Road, make sure you drive it. Now, if you have a vehicle over, I think it's 21 feet, if you're over 21 feet in length, you can't take it up there, but you can take one of the shuttle buses. They're free, and it's a great trip. So Going to the Sun Road, Glacier National Park, it's not now open. So here's a story that is not such good news. This is from Alaska, where there has been a rash of very serious and fatal bear attacks. I want to start with a one that illustrates the power of bear spray. We've talked about that a lot on this program. But indeed, there was a friend who was able to save his buddy. They're both mountain bikers, from a bear attack by using bear spray. Alex Ipodoli and James Frederick were two buddies. They were out last Saturday morning driving some gravel roads near a military base outside of Anchorage. And it did not go as planned. That's the classic understatement. They were there, and what happened is they'd stopped at the trail, and they saw some bushes kind of rustling and moving around. They didn't know what it was. They slowed down. They paused. The rustling stopped, and so they started off on their bikes again. And Ipodoli was a few yards ahead. He had just safely passed that crackling bush when he heard a crash and shouts from his friend. He stopped, turned around, he saw a bear. It charged 30 yards, knocking Frederick from his bike, slashing open his neck and his torso. Frederick remembers, Ipodoli remembers Frederick calmly calling out for help. And Ipodoli said, "All the options ran through my head. Should I get back on my bike? Should I run?" He grabbed his bear spray, he started yelling. That distraction worked. Just 10 seconds after it first attacked, the bear abandoned Frederick and then turned his attention to Ipodoli. He says he was terrified. He says, looking at this female bear straight on, big brown bear. So he deployed the bear spray and he immediately panicked. He wasn't sure if the mist would reach this massive creature. And sometimes that spray, you know, doesn't work on bears. He had heard that before and he was worried the bear would charge anyway. He says, "I'm going to die," he said, he thought. But instead, the bear retreated back into the bushes where she emerged, and he rushed to his bleeding friend. And they did have cell phone coverage. He called 911. He was able to get through to emergency responders. But all the while, the bear was close, and the man eventually noticed that she was guarding a cub in a tree above them. So they decided hanging around there was putting them in too much danger, so they needed to leave. They walked about a quarter of a mile, and Frederick was bleeding, was growing exhausted. He was worried he was going to faint. They had briefly paused, and at one point, Ipodoli wrapped his long-sleeved T-shirt around his neck wound. Finally, emergency people showed up. The bear was still there, and Ipodoli was rushed to a hospital. He suffered a major laceration on his neck. He lost part of his bicep muscle. He got stitches on his nose and his eyebrow, but he's going to be okay. Officials investigated. They don't think this was a predatory attack, and that the bear was just, you know, perceiving a threat and protecting its cub. However, then there was another incident that Saturday night, another brown bear attack outside the town of Hope. Man was walking his dog to get some firewood, and he encountered a bear. The bear charged. The man ran up a tree, and the bear swatted him down and batted him around, then finally went into the woods with its cub. He suffered just minor injuries. But those attacks came after a couple of attacks reported last weekend, which were described as predatory. And in those incidents in different parts of the state, black bears appear to have targeted and fatally mauled a teenage runner and a biologist. Those officials say were extremely troubling, very, very rare. There's no denying we've had a number of attacks in a very short period of time, according to officials from the Game Commission there in Alaska. Biologists are trying to figure out what happened. But I bring this all out to tell you that if you are in bear country, make sure you have bear spray. It works. We don't know what happened in the other attacks, but it wasn't mentioned. We know in the one attack that was getting pretty serious that it stopped that bear from continuing its attack. All right, one more story. This has to do with Camping World. You know, everybody knows Camping World. And you know that they bought Gander Outdoors, the Gander stores, Gander Mountain stores. They bought 60 of them. And they've now decided that they're going to operate 60 of them. They bought 160. And they've decided that their goal was to hang on to 70 stores. They looked through the numbers and they said that they can keep 57. Maybe they can run up to as many as 60. But so Gander Mountain stores will continue with the new ownership by Camping World. That's our news of the week. I've got links to all these stories on the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/147. And our news of the week, always sponsored by our friends at Aldi, A-L-D-E. That's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System brings many benefits and features that you can't find with any other heating product in an RV. It's a silent, radiant heat, provides a warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets. It's great for humans. It's the kind of heat you have in high-end estate-type homes. It gives you increased interior space because it combines your hot water heater with your air heating system. It's efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. And it will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over forced air. You don't get any of that dry, constant, irritating noise from a forced air heater. It's silent and radiant, and you get lots of great options. The one that Jennifer and I have that we absolutely love the most is heated floors. Cold winter mornings, cold summer mornings, in the evening when you're wandering around and your bare feet, having that little bit of heat on the floor is such a luxury. Check out Aldi when you're shopping for an RV. They're available on a number of different models: New Camp, Airstream, Road Trek RVs. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Time to check in with our pal Steve Van Dinter from Verizon Wireless about some of the traveling tech that can make your journey just a little more efficient.
Hi there, Mike. Well, now that the 4th is over, it always seems like we quickly slide into fall. But before we get there, I wanted to share some of the cool accessories I've found that I know your listeners will find useful, not just for the rest of the summer, but into the fall as well. First, the Chromecast Ultra. Admit it, you take a lot of photos and videos over summer, and for good reason. From graduations to holidays and family vacations, there's a lot of picture-perfect moments over these 90 days. Well, when it comes to showing them off, there's no need to have people crowd around your phone. Instead, you plug the small, hockey puck-looking Chromecast Ultra into your TV and project or cast your photos onto the big screen. Chromecast works for more than just photos. You can cast Netflix, HBO, and even your phone screen live onto any TV that the Chromecast is plugged into. In fact, more than 1,000 apps are compatible in up to 4K streaming. Pretty cool, huh? Well, next, if you've got a new Samsung Galaxy S8 or S8 Plus, you're going to want to pick up an accessory called DeX. This device looks like a stand for your phone, but it is so much more. Set your phone on the device and connect it to your TV. A new desktop-like experience pops up on your television. Pair this with a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard, and now you have a portable desktop on the go powered by your phone. The best part is it's very secure, as files you work on remain locked on your device. So if you do a lot of work on your phone and feel the screen size hinders your progress, DeX might just be your new best friend. And lastly, we talked earlier about all those videos and pictures we shoot in the summer. Well, with the Osmo Mobile Kit, you can give these a professional flair. I'm talking 3-axis stabilization for your phone, giving you ultra-smooth cinematic shots as you walk, pan, and move. Let Osmo be your personal cameraman as well. Simply mount your phone and have it track and follow your movement, so you are always in shot. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Hey, I've got that Osmo Mobile Kit. I use that for our Facebook Live videos that we often do. I'll be doing one next week from Indianapolis. And you can count on one for sure on July 27th when Steve Van Dinter and I will be gathered together with as many of you who will join us. Thursday, July 27th, we'll be in Grand Rapids, Michigan at American RV from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. And it will be a traveling tech road trekking demonstration. You've heard Steve and I talking about cool traveling tech gadgets and gizmos week after week on the RV podcast. So we thought it'd be fun to arrange a time and a place to show and demonstrate these gadgets and have you come by and visit. Our friends at American RV are going to provide free refreshments, and Steve and I'll be there. We'll do a Facebook Live for those of you who can't come to Grand Rapids, but we picked Thursday, July 27th. That way you can get an early start on the weekend, because there's all these great camping spots that you can do not far from Grand Rapids, right over there on Lake Michigan. So you're invited. Come for our in-person demo. Grand Rapids is, as I say, not far from Lake Michigan. Lots of camping opportunities in the area. Come meet us 3 to 7 p.m. Thursday, July 27th at American RV in Grand Rapids. This part of the podcast is brought to you each week, our traveling tech section, by our friends at Verizon Wireless. And Verizon is the exclusive provider for wireless connectivity for the Road Trekking RV podcast as we travel North America. We always have a solid connection thanks to Verizon.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, here's a little report we got from our friend Larry Daniel, also known as Ozarks Photos. Larry's a big-time photographer. We met him at our Montana gathering a couple of weeks ago, and he filed a little off the beaten path about some of his journeys as he left the Glacier National Park area and moved a little bit through the West. Here's Larry Daniel.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. This is Larry Daniel, also known as Ozarks Photos, with a little off-the-beaten-path information. After a wonderful experience at Glacier National Park with the road trekking group, we headed off the beaten path, west on Montana Highway 2 from Kalispell toward Libby, and then on west of Libby a little ways. You can view Kootenai Falls, one of the largest free-flowing waterfalls in the Northwest, as you drive along. No, not as you drive along. You have to get out and walk. The main fall is 30 feet high and can be viewed from a swinging bridge. We continued on west a couple of miles and took Highway 56 south to just past Bull Lake. It is a few miles. Then slow down past Bull Lake, or you will, as you will turn west onto the forest road, which leads you to the Ross Creek Giant Cedars. This is a special grove of old growth giant cedars, many towering over 100 feet with massive trunks. On the over a mile walking trail through the grove were volcanic rock formations, mountain streams, and lush ferns, along with massive undergrowth. The parking area had a couple of picnic areas right on the riverbank. I do want to mention that the forest road is not suitable for trailers or large RVs. The parking area is rather small, and there is no turnaround for trailers or large RVs. These cedars are well worth a visit if you are driving a Class B or smaller vehicle. Hope everyone that may make the trip to the big cedars, giant cedars, will enjoy themselves. Take care.
Well, the Off the Beaten Path report on the podcast is sponsored every week by our friends at Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's newest dealer and a third-generation family business in Minnesota's beautiful Chain of Lakes region, built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. Since 1917, the Steinbring family has been bringing you the best products and the best service within the transportation industry. The sales staff at Steinbring Motor Coach brings you decades of experience in the recreational vehicle industry, now celebrating 100 years in business, a third-generation family business. Along with being named a Blue Ribbon Dealer by RV Business Magazine, they have been named a Top 50 Dealer numerous times. They offer new and used Newmar Class A motorhomes, as well as new and used Road Trek Class B motorhomes. Also for sale are pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Road Trek, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco. Whether you're looking for a Class A, a Class B, a Class C, a diesel pusher, gas, or a toy hauler, you will find your next RV at Steinbrings, along with award-winning sales, award-winning service as well, and one of the nicest showrooms I have seen in any dealership anywhere. Check them out, Steinbring Motor Coach. They are the place you want to go if you're anywhere near that Chain of Lakes region in beautiful Minnesota.
traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
Well, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message by clicking that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. New episodes released every Wednesday morning. We invite you to also join our mailing list. We send out a free special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. And don't forget our YouTube channel, loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. If you get over to Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, subscribe, and then there's a little button you can click notification to be notified whenever we have new videos up. We have new videos up every week, a couple times a week, and we'll let you know when new ones are up there so you can find them. Hey, till next time, I'm Mike Wendland on behalf of my wife Jennifer and our dog Bo. We're off road trekking across North America. So long, everybody.